The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch. John's engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, November the 17th, 2019. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, and you're listening to 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, we've got all of our podcasts. Same location, we populate it every day with the program, usually an hour or two, a little longer some days. After the program, it's up there for you to listen on your schedule. Live line number, if you'd like to join, 790-2040. The Monday Political Face-Off features our team of commentators this week. John Munger, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, Republican candidate for Arizona governor a few years ago. Jeff Rogers, well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. I was by Moe's on Saturday. They're doing such good things over there. Very busy. This is the place to go to have all of your framing needs taken care of. Of course, they have the custom frame mirrors, but I'll tell you what's really starting to take off over at Moe's is the art gallery. They've got some beautiful art in there, and there were some folks in there looking, and they've got some really nice pieces that would be worth your while to check out. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. John and Jeff, my goodness, this team, this basketball team, Jeff, I'll start with you because you're kind of a real diehard basketball fan coming from the state of Indiana. This is Sean's best team in 10 years, I think.
I think physically talented-wise it is. And then you add those three remarkable freshmen to a crew of older people, sort of elder statesmen, and you've got quite a mix. This team is 10 people deep, and it's exciting to watch. I mean, it's... I can't tell you how much fun. This is Zeke Nagy guy. He's hit something like, 17 or 19 in a row?
Wow.
And he's shooting 83% from the field. That's astonishing. And he's just a really exciting player to watch. And Mannion, you know, running the offense, he looks more like a senior, you know, kind of like a bigger, stronger version of T.J. McConnell and 4 years younger. And so I think we'll lose all three of these freshmen
at
the end of the
year. And that bothers you, John. We were talking before the show. You like in baseball, the NC2A has a rule that you spend 3 years.
You either don't go to college, or if you go to college, you're not eligible for the pros
right.
in baseball for 3 years.
I like that.
I'd like to see the NCAA do the same rule in basketball. It's ruined basketball, college basketball, in my opinion, to have athletes come in for 1 year. You're not building a program. You're just, you know, one and done. That's not exciting baseball. I want to see a program. I want to watch the kids grow up like we did with Sean Elliott and that group of players. We watched them for 4 years.
Sean spent 4 years. I mean, how rare would that be these days?
No, it'd be impossible these days.
Let's move on to political news. And Pete Buttigieg looking real good as far as the polling, Jeff, in Iowa. I think the message is pretty darn clear. Democrats are saying we've got to get a moderate if we've got any chance of beating Donald Trump. You've got the former governor of, Massachusetts, now officially in. Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York, not officially in, but looks like he's going to go in. So they obviously see there is an opportunity there.
Well, if you take the numbers from Biden, which are around 16% in this latest poll from the Des Moines Register, and then you add that to Buttigieg's 25%, that's 41%. Take Klobuchar's 6%, and you're getting close to 50% of the vote, and those are all moderates in the eyes of most Democratic voters. And so I think that people are looking at it thinking, well, one, Biden doesn't seem very vigorous on the campaign trail, isn't raising a lot of money, and may fade, is beginning beginning to fade a little bit in Iowa right now. And then Buttigieg, you look at him and you go, well, this guy's the ideal candidate, but is America ready for a gay president? Mm-hmm. You know, I'd like to think that we could handle that, but, you know, I'm not terribly optimistic that a majority of America has gone that far on that issue. So I think you're seeing more moderate candidates say, wait a minute here, the moderates are starting to make their move, and maybe these aren't the two moderates that could win this. I've always liked Klobuchar a lot and thought that she was, you know, kind of underrated and not making the kind of progress that she should. But, you know, I think there's an opening here, and I think this thing is still wide open. And we saw just this morning where Elizabeth Warren kind of moderated her stance on the Medicare for All and was then attacked by Bernie Sanders for doing it.
Wow.
She basically said, well, I will institute what Biden and Buttigieg said, was that you could buy into Medicare for the first 3 years of her presidency because it would take that long to maybe implement a Medicare for All
plan. So she's stepping more to the middle.
She is stepping back a little bit from, because that's actually, I think, a toxic issue in a general election.
Yes.
It might motivate the most liberal people who turn out in Democratic primaries, but it is toxic in a general election. I think the best polling I saw for it was as high as maybe the mid 30% would support that in a general election environment. So I think we're waking up to the fact that if we really do want to beat Donald Trump, we're going to have to reclaim the center a little bit of this party.
What about it, John?
Well, I think that Jeff's numbers are right. The problem is that the moderates add up to 46, 47%. That means the radicals are 53% in the Democratic Party. All the rest of them are pretty radical. And
how important is Iowa, John?
Well, I think winning any first primary is important. I agree with Jeff. Before the show, we were talking, you know, Iowans, being an Iowan, are more conservative. There are plenty of liberals in Iowa, believe me, mm-hmm. but they're more conservative. I'll give them credit. They're fairly thoughtful, rational people, and I think a lot of the Democrats there say, okay, Buttigieg may be our guy. He's a little more moderate. The problem is that then we get into the Eastern primaries, that's where Warren and Bernie Sanders are going to come out pretty strong. The real problem I see is for the Democratic Party is that I'm not sure whichever side of that wins, the other side is going to be happy. And I'm not sure that if the moderates win, I'm not sure the radicals, I'll call them radicals, the liberals, progressives, whatever.
And that's a problem because that faction, they may say, I'm not going to vote.
That's right.
That's the danger.
Or they may vote for a green candidate or something.
Yes.
There is that danger. The other
problem is the current face with this impeachment going on, the current face of the Democratic Party is Adam Schiff. And Adam Schiff, the people look at him. I don't know anybody that thinks much of Adam Schiff. Now, the clear progressives love him, but I think independents hate this kind of constant going at the president. There's never, for the first time I've ever seen, there's never been a honeymoon for Donald Trump. They've been going after him since day one, talking about coups and resistance. That's not the American way.
It is a problem, Jeff, because some of the public, I think some of the Democratic voters are even saying that maybe we should have maybe censured Donald Trump and then let the voters decide since it's an election year.
Well, the problem with Donald Trump is, and this is, when you don't earn a majority of the American public votes in a presidential election, that sets you up for looking like you're not a very legitimate president. And in the case of Trump, he's taken that way further because he views anything that suggests he might not be legitimate as an attack on him personally. And so the guy is just so mentally unprepared for this job it's a crisis in America right now, and I think people realize that. The polling showed today, the Ipsos poll showed that, which is Ipsos and ABC News, 70% of the public agreed that it was wrong to ask for a foreign power to investigate a rival. And in a nutshell, you've got 70% of Americans saying this is a president who abused his powers for personal advantage. Wow. And that was wrong. And 51% of the people in that poll today support not only impeachment, but impeachment and removal from office. There's also a large number of people in that same poll who support impeachment, but not removal from office, which is kind of odd, contradiction there. But, you know, we're on the cusp of something, and every day something, another shoe drops that is causing more and more problems for Donald Trump and the Republicans. You know, I'm a defense attorney. I defend some pretty bad people sometimes, and I have to be very creative in what I do. But, you know, some of these defenses are laughable. I mean, this Simpson's defense of, well, there is no such thing as the Nobel Prize for attempted chemistry. You know, let's face it.
John, you will be first when we return. Can I have you hold your thought?
Sure.
We're going to take the break right here. And, John, I promise you will have your chance to rebuttal what Jeff was just talking about. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing presenting our Monday political face-off there at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Also want to tell you about, do you believe it? Next week is Thanksgiving. Boy, this year has just flown by. So it's the week before Thanksgiving, and that means everybody should be thinking about their Thanksgiving table, and their favorite bakery is Mona's Danish Bakery, is mine. And Jeff, I know you've been a big supporter of Mona's over the year.
Oh, yeah, delicious.
And they are getting ready for Thanksgiving, so now is the time to think about ordering your pies, rolls for your table. Okay, I've got the pie list. Steve gave it to me this morning. Here's what's available: pumpkin, apple, blueberry, cherry, and pecan. John, which will it be for you, my friend?
Cherry.
Jeff?
Cherry pie.
I love cherry, but apple and pumpkin go over well in our family. So cherry's kind of my favorite as well, like John. But you got to have apple and you got to have pumpkin
in
our family.
So they'll be on the table for sure. Okay. Danish Kringle for Thanksgiving morning would be a great choice. Mona's, home of the Danish Kringle. They come in traditional custard, cherry, strawberry, blueberry, lemon, apricot, and pecan. So you've got some choices there. Their number is 579-1519, Mona's Danish Bakery at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, monasdanishbakery.com. Give them a call. Tell them what you have in mind for Thanksgiving so Steve and the team can get your order in. It's a big week at Mona's. We'll be right back with the Monday Political Face-Off. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Take 5 minutes to give us your input on regional transportation matters. The Regional Transportation Authority's 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee prepared draft guiding principles to consider as they prepare to develop the next RTA plan. The survey is available between mid-November and mid-December. To take the survey or to sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. I'm Bill Buckmaster. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our Monday Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. John Munger is seated to my right and Jeff Rogers to my left. And I, as promised, John, you're up to the plate to rebuttal what Jeff was just saying.
Well, Jeff's talking about polls. You know, if you polled me, I would say if you worded the question right, you could get the question worded, and I'd say it was wrong. The problem is, if you word the question and say, is murder wrong? I'd say, yeah, murder's wrong. But proving somebody did murder somebody else is an entirely different question. So if you confront me with that question, yeah, okay. But the issue here is twofold. One, did Donald Trump do anything, which has yet to be proven? I mean, the Democrats are now operating on the theory that hearsay is better than direct evidence. All they have is hearsay. They have nothing else. We know that the money was given to the Ukrainians. The Ukrainians have never investigated Joe Biden. They say themselves they weren't intimidated. There was no intimidation, both the president of the Ukraine and the foreign minister of the Ukraine. So that these events that the Democrats are claiming and by innuendo have happened just haven't happened. And the public is getting that. The poll out today on daily job approval for Donald Trump, he's at 50%.
Really?
And negative is 49. So he's moving on up. And then you look at the polls for people who approve of impeachment and removal from office, those numbers are actually going down. So the public, the Democrats are losing the public on this thing.
And there doesn't seem to be, and the New York Times today had a piece about interest in our Americans following the impeachment.
They Americans, especially from the middle of the country, just don't care. And most Americans are just tired of this. They're tired of the constant attacks on President Trump. There's never been a honeymoon. First president I've ever seen who the other party just didn't give any chance. From day one, they were talking about coups of the presidency. They were talking about a resistance. A resistance is not the American way. Generally, you have a loyal opposition. You can oppose. But resistance, I mean, that's you're talking war. When you talk about a resistance, You're talking about declaring war on
underground
someone. Underground efforts to
what Mitch McConnell did to Barack Obama.
No.
He was quoted as saying we'll make sure he's a one-term president and he'll accomplish nothing on our watch.
Well, that's exactly what they did. That's different than saying we're going to have a resistance, an underground resistance, and oppose the government. You can be a loyal opposition if you want and say,
"Well, that's what the resistance is." John.
No, it isn't.
No one's ever brought up having a coup.
Yes.
Except the crazy president himself.
For this whistleblower himself wrote emails about the coup starts today, and he did that the day after the inauguration. So they've been talking about coups and resistance. That's just not the American way, and the public is tired of it.
The public is tired of Donald Trump, and they're getting exhausted.
They're tired of the Democrats.
And these polls are starting to show it that contrary to what we originally thought, this impeachment inquiry is really going to take a piece out of his hide, and he's getting less popular by the day. Wow. Now, there's going to be a core group of people of, 35 to 40% who are going to stand by him, but as we've seen in the Kentucky and the Louisiana governor's races, Donald Trump's not going to win your election for you, and you better be careful how tightly you hug him as you go into the 2020 elections, because he may be a lot more toxic to a lot more Republicans like McSally, for instance, than he is a help to them.
McSally has her own issues. I will acknowledge that. But I will tell you it's significant that no Republicans have broken away from Donald Trump, either in the House or in the Senate. And what Donald Trump is going to come in with is yet another acquittal from the Senate. And he's going to say to the public, look, this was all a political attempt at a coup, which it was, same with the collusion, the obstruction. They just can't stop. These people, frankly, are crazy, and they have Trump hysteria. They are not following the American concept of loyal opposition. This resistance is absurd. Coups, the talk of coups are absurd, and the Democrats need to get over it and go with an election. Donald Trump won. He didn't have a majority of the votes, but he had a majority of the electoral votes. But Bill Clinton didn't win either.
All right, Jeff, it's your turn.
Bill Clinton got 43% of the vote.
Bill Clinton got more votes than his opponent got both times, okay? So he did win the popular vote. He didn't win. He won a plurality of it. But Donald Trump didn't even win a plurality of the vote.
The fact of the matter is,
people are tiring of this incompetent, dishonest president. And we're finding time after time that the quid pro quo, if you want to call it that, was what was there. And not only that, but we're finding corroborating evidence from witness after witness after witness, including Trump's own phone call, of which they call it a transcript, but it's basically a memo memorializing the phone call. So we can hear what's on that phone call. We can hear them lying about a previous phone call, which they now have released. And it doesn't say what they said it did, that he was out there battling quote corruption in the Ukraine. The fact of the matter is that we've got him dead to rights, and it's just a matter of will the Republicans in the Senate have the backbone to throw him out of office? I don't think so.
You couldn't convince.
I think you'll probably see three Republicans join in, maybe four, maybe two, but you're going to see a few of them join the Democrats because their hide is on the line in the 2020 elections and thereafter.
I don't think so. I will tell you right now, it's the Democrats are voting with the Republicans. We've got two Democrats voting with the Republicans. The Democrats don't have the evidence. It's all hearsay. It's all innuendo. They don't have any direct evidence of anything, and they can't prove their case. This is just where Schiff said, I have absolute proof of collusion. And he didn't have proof of collusion. He's saying the same thing.
He's got the president's own words in the phone.
No, he doesn't. Read the memo. The president never makes it a trade-off.
Let's see what Mike has to say. Mike called us at 790-2040. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, real briefly. Without ever going to necessarily mention another radio station, the Republicans, Sean Hannity, all the entire Obama administration talked about coups and revolution. And now he's not an elected official, he's just a radio host, but quoted by and listened to Republicans from the president on down. And it was not the loyal opposition. It was, we're out to get this guy. So
that's right.
Pretend that's not the case.
That's right. They've been out to get him since day one, and it hasn't been a loyal opposition. If you want to oppose his policies, oppose his policies. If you think he's done something wrong, oppose his policies. But the talk of resistance and coups implies going to war underground, upsetting the government, taking over, sedition. And I just think the American public isn't buying it. And the independents, incidentally, aren't buying it. The independents are more against impeachment than they are for impeachment.
All right.
The Democrats
losing. You make a good point. They did accuse Obama of every one of the things you just said. And it started from day one. And it never ended until he was out of office.
We never did anything like this. We didn't like Obama. We gave him a honeymoon. You look back on the record. He had about 4 to 5 months where he was given an opportunity. Yeah, I didn't like his policies. I opposed his policies. I never talked about a coup or an underground resistance or anything like that. We never tried to impeach him. We didn't try to obstruct his presidency. We hated him. But we let him be president. We fought him in the halls of Congress. We fought him where we could. That's legitimate. But that isn't what the Dems have done to Donald Trump. And you've sowed the wind, and you're going to reap the whirlwind, my friend.
All right. Jeff, final quick comment?
Well, I'm very optimistic that we're in a pretty good position given the incompetence and dishonesty of this president. People are tiring of his dishonesty.
All right. Jeff Rogers and John Munger, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Check out Moe for all of your custom frame mirrors. They've got some beautiful art right now in the gallery, picture framing and hanging services. Mo will come out and make sure everything is done right. CBS Network News, the news break, and then we'll be back on Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. This weather is so beautiful, but it's all going to change. Mid-80s today, near a record high, and then we've got the rain coming in. It's time for our monthly visit with my friends over at the Better Business Bureau. Pam Krim is here. Pam heads up the BBB, which is one of the most, I would say, of the BBBs in the country, one of the most respected, and a lot of that is because of Pam Krim. I want to say that very publicly, Pam. You do a great job.
You're far too generous, Bill. No. I have an incredible team of people.
I know you've got a great team.
You can't see me, but I'm blushing.
Yes, but it starts at the top. You just are just so hands-on, and people love you over at the BBB, and people that come into contact with you like our guest who is with Pam today, Pam Michael is here. And Pam's a retired HR executive, and Pam Michael is a huge advocate of what BBB does. Correct, Pam?
Oh, certainly. I certainly am. I don't know what I'd do without them.
You know, I think one of the signatures, in fact, not think, I know one of the signature efforts of the BBB is really the value of the accreditation program, Pam.
We are so proud of our accreditation program, and it's a real service to the businesses in the community that choose to commit to our standards of trust, as well as it's such a reassuring opportunity for consumers to utilize our list of accredited businesses. You know, they commit to building trust, advertising honestly, being transparent. They have to honor their promises. They're responsive to consumers, a real push for safeguard of privacy of all of your information, and obviously the very large one to embody integrity. All of the businesses that are accredited with us have committed to that. And the another very important thing about this is not every transaction goes perfectly, but this gives you a process to communicate with that business in order to come to a fair resolution. So we're very proud. It's a major piece of our mission, being our mission to manage marketplace trust.
What happens when a business comes to you and says, we'd like to go through with the application then? What about on your end, Pam Krim? What kinds of things are you looking for before you say yes?
Well, the very first thing is they have to already have a B-plus rating in our database.
Okay.
So that shows responsiveness to customers and to consumers. Also, we check to make sure that they have the proper licensing and also accreditation through any of their particular alliances, as well as we check for government actions. So we do a thorough, I don't want to say vetting. I guess we should say vetting.
Yeah.
Vetting, we do a real good job at vetting and working through. We check their website. We look for authentic communication as far as advertising. My team does this incredible job of really getting to know that business.
I think vetting is the appropriate word because you're really taking a deep dive into this particular company that wants to be a part of the team.
Yes, I feel confident in that.
Pam Michael, you've been a big supporter of BBB through the years. What kind of role has BBB played in your life as a consumer?
As a consumer, for me, it's security. Mm-hmm. It's knowing that you're going to pick a contractor or whomever or a business that you feel that you can, that will stand behind you, and you have an alternative to go to if that's not the case. And to me, it's security. It really is for me.
I think that from the consumer's point of view, just knowing that a business has that seal and is accredited, that's a nice starting point, isn't it, Pam?
Oh, it definitely is. And what I like about it is that when you see the BBB logo
right.
on a truck,
right.
you know what they've gone through to have to be able to be accredited.
Yeah.
And you know that they're responsible, and that people really, really do truly feel that they can do the right job, and they take pride in what they do.
Was there an example when you did not use the BBB where you regretted it?
Oh, yes. You know how you have kind of fly-by-night that come through the neighborhood?
I think probably in a lifetime we've all had that experience.
Yes.
Once or twice.
Oh, definitely.
Least. Yeah.
And the time that I remember
let's hear your experience.
It was on Mother's Day, actually.
Okay.
And this gentleman came to the door and wanted to know if I was interested in having my driveway repaved. And it was kind of funny because I've been thinking about that, that I knew I needed to have it done. And he came with his wife and his two children,
mm-hmm.
and they all worked together. And I thought, I'm not doing anything this afternoon.
Right.
Let me have him do it.
Yeah.
So he came, spent a couple of hours, him and his family, and paved my driveway,
mm-hmm.
and left. And they were very nice people.
Mm-hmm.
But then after I started looking at the work, the work was kind of shoddy. And then what happened was he came back like 2 days later and says, you know, I didn't get all those cracks, so I'd like to do some more work on this.
Oh, wanted to do some touch-up.
Yeah.
And the meter's running again,
it was
right?
going to be another $300.
See, there you go. A little bit of touch-up, and would you write me another check? How about $300 to tide me over?
And I said, no, thank you.
Yeah, so that's a big example, isn't it, Pam?
It is, and the frustrating thing in this case was, We really couldn't go back and try to find someone to repair it properly, or go back to them and have them prepare it properly, because Pam wasn't sure where they were and who they were.
Right.
Most likely even had an out-of-state license plate, which is often you'll find with this type of tradesman.
Mm-hmm. So if you didn't see the BBB accreditation, that's a big red flag.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, if you see that, it's something about just this feeling of assurance and trust when you see the BBB logo.
Correct. And when we've done research on this, you know, because the BBB, we're always doing research.
Oh, yeah.
And fortunately, we have a lot of smart people that do that. The BBB logo has a very high rating, up into the 80 percentile of commonly known as a trustful logo. So we are very careful with that. And that's why you have to go through the accreditation process to have the opportunity to use that logo. And we also do the same thing for nonprofits. So as we move forward through the holiday season and you're considering donations, and we know how generous our community is, please take a look and look for accredited charities from the Better Business Bureau. And all this can be found on the BBB.org.
How does that work? Can someone just call the office to find out about a company?
You can always call us.
If you want to talk to someone about
right.
it?
Yeah. You can always talk to us. And we're happy at 888-6161.
Uh-huh.
And we are there every morning from 8 until about 5 o'clock.
And of course, BBB.org has all that great information. And I know you're doing mixers. You've been doing these really popular mixers. Is there one coming up?
There is. And I'm really proud to say that it's going to be in an accredited business. And that is Brother John's on Stone. I think most of us have been there. It's the mm-hmm. old Wildcat that he
right.
transformed into a wonderful barbecue. And that will be tomorrow night from 5 to 7. And it's free. So there are free appetizers, which are delicious there.
Mm-hmm.
The adult beverages are on you if you choose to mm-hmm. partake. But we will have a lot of business-minded people there to network. It's not just accredited businesses. Again, it's part of our outreach to the entire business community. So we really encourage people to come along, and we usually have anywhere from 60 to 100 people.
Well, it's a great chance to mix and just really get to know each other in the community.
Absolutely.
And Pam, Michael, thank you so much for coming in. And I'm sure you and your friends use BBB and will continue to use BBB.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks a lot. Pam, Michael, a big advocate of the BBB and the accreditation program. Pam Grimm, heading up BBB. She's the CEO and president. And again, Pam, BBB.org, all sorts of great information. You guys do so much research, and it's up there available for you.
All of our events, as well as all the information for scams. So please take a look.
Perfect. Pam, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
The two Pams. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
The Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio continues. Our historian, Ken Scoville, is coming up next, talking about Century of Tucson. That's going to be a big event coming up this weekend. We'll tell you about it right after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
A Citizens Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is preparing to develop the next RTA plan. That's why members want your input on a survey of draft guiding principles they prepared. The principles will help guide them as they develop the next 20-year plan, which would be funded by a voter-required extension of the RTA's half-cent excise or sales tax. To take the survey or sign up to receive RTA notices, please visit www.rtamobility.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. I can't believe it. 25,000 poinsettias? That's what's going on over at Green Things. I couldn't believe that number. I know Jen and Jack, the owners, so well, but when I heard about 25,000, I was thinking, maybe 10, 15, but they've raised 25,000 poinsettias. They're ready right now over at Green Things, so check it out. Their address is 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. And of course, Zocalo Village is there, all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. So you can check out the poinsettias and all your Christmas plants, Green Things, and also Zocalo Village, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Also, our support comes from our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's going to be in the mid-80s here, and I would venture to say probably over in Silver City, it's a lot cooler. Yeah, there it is. Thanks, John, for pulling that up. 70 degrees. That's perfect. 71 right now in Silver City, a three-hour road trip. That's what awaits you. SouthwestNewMexico.org for the listing of great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We've got a activity coming up that folks will find very interesting, and it's celebrating really kind of downtown Tucson, celebrating in the heart of downtown. It's called Century of Tucson, and it's coming up this Saturday. Our Buckmaster Show historian Ken Scoville is with us. Ken, how are you?
I'm just fine, and I think it's Sunday.
Oh, it's Sunday.
Sunday okay. The 24th.
There you go. You are correct. Sunday the 24th from noon to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And is this kind of built off of the centennial year, Ken, for the Hotel Congress?
Yes, Hotel Congress is just finishing up their centennial year. The Hotel Congress was constructed and finished in 1919, and a big event for them. And they're closing their centennial with all these events today and with other organizations, but also they have a time capsule. And I know I have a few things going into that time capsule.
So, really?
Yeah, so I'd be curious.
So you contributed a few things?
Well, I did a presentation in November of last year on the history of Congress Hotel, why it's the only remaining historic hotel downtown. So I'm putting my PowerPoint, which I also printed out, and my jump drive into the time capsule.
Oh,
so 100 years from now, if somebody says, does anybody know how to play a jump drive? Yeah.
Right. And your PowerPoint probably talked about kind of that big crossroads that we've talked about here, the transition, you know, the real arrival of the railroad. The U of A established, what, in the late 1880s?
Right. Yeah. The U of A, essentially the frontier ends in 10 years.
Right.
1880, arrival of the railroad. 1885, U of A established. 86, Geronimo captured, the end of the Indian Wars.
It was that late for the capture of Geronimo?
Yes, 1886. The last real major in the Southwest. 1891, classes open for the U of A. The frontier's over. 1900, we have the Carnegie Library. Now we're bringing culture, refinement, and a desire to have much more in the arts. We did have a little bit of performers. We used to have Mexican circuses here in the 1850s and 60s. Mm-hmm. We had some traveling opera performers and some other events, but really wasn't after the turn of the 20th century. And it's all overlays. I'll sound like an historian for a second, but I guess that's okay. Mm-hmm. We had what was called the Columbian Exposition in Chicago, and this got this idea of a city beautiful. So the cities all across the United States were trying to do parks, landscape, Carnegie Libraries, and music performances. Mm-hmm. So all this comes together at the turn of the 20th century in Tucson.
What was this Saturday morning music club?
Well, Mrs. Heineman, Madeline Heineman, she was a young bride, came here in about 1906, and she started this Saturday morning music club. And in fact, even nationally, you'll find women's movement really going in force and being involved in arts and politics and things. And this is for encouraging local musicians, children to take music lessons, and they started building on this. And by about 1915, I think they had 700 or 800 members, and they started bringing people in from other parts of the country, professionals to perform. And this would land up into the Temple of Music and Art. So we have this big, huge rush of performers. And then and from that in 26 and 27, when the temple is completed, then we have the Tucson Symphony in 1929. So we're also celebrating the 90th anniversary of the Tucson Symphony. And some of the brass players are coming over to do a couple performance sets over there celebrating the symphony. So we have really almost like a 100-year celebration of the arts and performing arts coming to
Tucson. So Hotel Congress 100 years ago with its founding, that was certainly a big deal for Tucson. And then you had also across the street the Rialto Theater.
Right, and these were sort of our two major bookends in East Congress.
Right.
and all because of the railroad depot across the street. The Rialto, which is going to have a series, year-long series of events for their centennial, I'm sure. But the Rialto actually started off as a little bit more of a vaudevillian venue. That was, remember,
really?
This was silent movies
sure,
at the time.
Yeah.
Not until the Jazz Singer about 1920.
But they were showing silent movies.
Silent movies, and Ginger Rogers sang there in the early teens, and lots of early performers, sort of as vaudeville was falling apart and being changed a little bit. But the Rialto still saw a lot of vaudeville, too.
And you mentioned the railroad being right there, the depot. That's probably why Hotel Congress and the theater are where they are.
Right. And also, maybe most people don't realize this, Tucson was the last one-nighter before he hit the big city of L.A.
Oh.
So all performers booked, we're going to do a one-nighter in Tucson, and we'll get on the Golden State Limited, and tomorrow morning we're in L.A.
There you go. So Tucson, home of the one-nighter.
Home of the one-nighter. So everybody, all the major performers said, we can do one more gig, we'll go into Tucson, maybe come in the night before, try and get a good night's sleep, do the show, and catch the late-night train out of Tucson to Los Angeles.
And the Tucson Symphony, as you mentioned, 90 years, that was one of the earlier symphonies in the country,
well,
wasn't it?
Well, from what I've read, one of the earlier symphonies in the country, and for the Southwest, mm-hmm. Tucson Symphony is the oldest continually performing orchestra in the Southwest. Realizing I did when I started doing a little research that they did their first performance in January of 2019 at the Tucson High School.
Wow.
And then 2 years later, the venue was, the perfect venue was the Temple of Music and Art.
So lots going on. This is a free event for celebrations. Arizona Public Media, 60 years. That will be part of the celebration. Tucson Symphony Orchestra, 90 years. The Rialto Theater, 99.
Going to be 100 next year.
Yeah, going to be 100. Yeah. And then Hotel Congress. Was Hotel Congress then a big deal when that opened here? Was there a huge celebration?
Yes. Oh, yes, because this was seen as our first modern hotel.
Yeah.
Before everything like that, it was a little vague. In fact, with the other great hotel we lost, the Santa Rita got built by 1906 because people were complaining about the bed bugs in the other places you had to stay.
Oh, geez.
So we didn't get the best TripAdvisor reviews.
No, I guess not. So this is a free event, and I think the symphony is going to do some music out there.
Right, the brass section's come over. I've suggested, I don't know if they can find the music, I actually located the first program for the symphony.
Really?
And one of the things they played, the overture from The Barber of Seville.
Mm.
So I don't know if they can get an arrangement for brass or something by that time, but we're going to have a pop-up museum for the Hotel Congress and the Arizona History Museum. I'm actually going to be doing a PowerPoint talk about the history of arts in Tucson.
Are you doing a historic tour?
No, another gentleman or person is doing the tour.
Oh, I thought maybe that was going to be you.
Well, they tend to get a little large, and I'm getting older, so I prefer smaller groups sometimes, but it'll be a great family event, really a nice way to look at history, music, and celebrating one of the great things and great reasons why people live in Tucson because of our arts.
So Carnegie Libraries, I was just thinking about that. Do they have them then all over the country, or what was
yes,
the origin
Carnegie, of that? You know, the very at one time the richest man in the world.
Sure.
He wanted to give back some of his, some people might say, ill-gotten gains, but he wanted to give back. So he built thousands of libraries because he thought the foundation of his wealth and for everybody was knowledge and where you could go to a library and check out books and do this. So we paid $25,000 for Carnegie paid $25,000 for the library.
Oh, really?
That's how much it costs for that beautiful Beaux Arts structure. Mm-hmm. We had to raise some operating cash and provide the land.
And how is it today?
It's the Tucson Children's Museum.
Yeah, and so, how is the structure? I just wondering.
Well, they've done a pretty good job of putting back together, given, boy, do I know all the politics about the restoring the... You realize the library was almost demolished twice.
You know where all the skeletons are buried
yeah,
in this town.
Sometimes.
All right, Ken Scoville, always a pleasure. And again, celebrate four historic Tucson organizations. Free family party this Sunday, getting underway at noon, running till about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Ken, I hope we'll see you before Christmas. Thank you.
All right.
Because I'm looking forward to my annual Christmas CD from you.
Okay.
There you go. Ken Scoville on the Buckmaster Show, one of two dozen Buckmaster Buckmaster Show contributors. You can find out all about them at buckmastershow.com, have their bios up there, and we're just so pleased to have such a great group with us. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, our Monday edition. On behalf of Ken and John Couch on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing, hope you have a great afternoon and evening.